This is Dairy Radio Now, Milky Monday.
Alyssa Badger, Vice President of Global Operations at High Ground Dairy in Chicago. Alyssa, dairy product prices are all well above a year ago and have not varied a whole lot the last few weeks. What is that saying to you?
Yeah, Lee, that's a great observation. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that milk remains negative across many key milk producing states here in the U.S., and there doesn't seem to be much relief on the horizon because of these scorching temperatures that we've seen throughout the Midwest and western parts of the U.S. And many of you may know this, but heat stress starts to impact cows a lot sooner than it affects humans. So if you look at data and analysis from the University of Minnesota Extension, the organization cites that stress starts at just 72 degrees with 50% humidity. And in some mild cases, about 2.5 pounds of milk are lost per cow per day. And in the most severe scenarios, production can drop up to 10 pounds per day, depending on how hot it gets. And additionally, once the heat lessens, it takes the cows time to return to a standard lactation curve. So we really started to see those numbers in the last data, but we'll see some big impacts from that heat in the June and July numbers, in our opinion.
Well, and you add that to the bird flu situation, that just doesn't bode well for milk production in this country.
No, that's exactly right. And we saw California's milk production way off in May, down 1.5%, and that was before the heat set in. So there's definitely some concerns there. We don't have any actual confirmation about HPAI in that state, but one has to wonder what's going on for milk cow numbers to really have dropped in those May numbers. Very interesting.
So you see prices holding steady then?
You know, I do, especially after we saw those domestic consumption numbers come out from the USDA earlier this month, especially on butter. Butter has been unseasonably high, trading above $3 per pound for a long time now, which shouldn't have happened in spring, but here we are into summer, still above $3 per pound. And we even saw production numbers jump 4% year to date through the May figures over prior year. But we're seeing really high demand for retail butter that keeps bulk supplies very limited. And that's been a driving force behind these elevated prices at the CME throughout Q2. The May domestic butter utilization number, domestic utilization accounts for 97% of total consumption. So this is important. That jumped 18.2% from prior year to the highest May domestic utilization number since these numbers started coming out from the USDA in 2011.
Well, butter is back because butter is better. Alyssa Badger, right. Vice President of Global Operations at High Ground Dairy in Chicago.
Here's dairy farmer Hank Wagner and his daughter Laura with another simple miracle moment.
You are one of a kind, and it is your difference that creates your value.
Nobody is perfect. We all have weaknesses, and it is valuable to know what they are.
Some people will focus all their efforts on improving their weaknesses.
It can also be wise to realize that a particular weakness you possess is not something you choose to improve. You may then choose to delegate or fill that weakness with another person who is already strong in that area.
That's Hank Wagner and Laura Rotz, author of the book Simple Miracles. For more, go to becomebetterleaders.com.
This is Dairy Radio Now.
A recent USDA study looks at how cover crop production integrated into cattle operations might provide economic benefits for producers as well as resource conservation benefits. Researcher Maria Baumann is with the Economic Research Service.
We just didn't really have an understanding about how prevalent this was. So for a long time, people have been talking about the potential economic benefits of doing that on livestock operations. Many studies found that integrating cover crops into livestock systems was more profitable than livestock systems that weren't using cover crops. And when we dug in a little bit more in that census of ag data, we saw that dairy and feedlot operations with cropland were more likely to grow cover crops. So that suggests that it might be more economic for those operations, that they might have a reason to be cover cropping relative to other operation types. Climate and precipitation is another one. If you don't have much water, it's difficult to establish and grow a lot of cover crop forage and labor availability. So potential to expand, but also barriers. We saw that eastern uplands, which is parts of West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and also the central eastern Texas and Louisiana area, have the potential to expand cover cropping and livestock systems. So a lot of livestock, but not a lot of cover crops.
That's USDA's economic researcher Maria Baumann, and I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.